Hello and welcome back. In this episode, I interview Mark Victor Hansen and his spectacular wife, Crystal. I'm certain you're familiar with Mark's work, best known for the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series and brand with over 500 million books sold. He's spoken to over 6,000 audiences worldwide, and he's a prolific writer, authoring some of my personal all-time faves like The Power of Focus, The Aladdin Factor, and The 1 Minute Millionaire. Mark finds his greatest joy now in his soulmate relationship with his wife, best friend, and partner, Crystal Dyer Hansen. I mentioned how much I enjoyed the two of them together, and he said, "A true soulmate relationship allows you to express all you are meant to be at your best. Crystal does that for me." Oh, I love that. Together, they join us here to talk about their latest book, Ask, where they break down the science of asking. And yes, they say there is a science to asking, suggesting that 99% of not getting what you desire is a result of not knowing something as basic as how to ask. These two are amazing. I could have talked to them for hours. Their exuberant energy flows through the computer, and their attitudes and words are inspiring. By listening, I know you'll fall in love with them as much as I did, desiring to pick up the book the second you finish the podcast. If you think you could be better at asking for what you desire, you'll wish to listen in. Please enjoy my conversation with Mark Victor and Crystal Hansen. Crystal and Mark, welcome to the Wealthy Wealthy Podcast.
We are honored and thankful to be here. We love the title of your podcast.
Right. Such a great title. And so happy to be here with you, Christina.
Yeah, thanks for referencing the title, because the whole idea behind the company and the brand came out of a life story of mine that, you know, just the magic of life. And I've always been into business and building wealth, like the 1 Minute Millionaire. Love that book, by the way. And Rich Kids, yes. So, but just always been really intent upon building wealth, net worth, money. But I was in the money game and the business game for a long time, and it nearly killed me. I mean, I just lived the life of more, achievement, attainment, go. And I mean, I just missed life because I was always after the next gold ring, so to speak. I got really sick, and then I learned my lesson on my deathbed when I'm kind of, you know, begging Mother U for another chance and getting all these life lessons. And I realized that wealth, W-E-L-L-T-H, is what life is about. And I've been after the wealth, and I missed the wealth. And the name of my kind of the next book and my business came out of that experience. And it's like, yeah, we have the money wealth, but it's to underwrite the cost of living a really wealthy life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally. So everything that you're doing is just fits right into that.
Well, first of all, let me just hitchhike on what you said, is that we believe the triangle of life, the highest value has got to be health. Because if you haven't got your health, what the hell good is wealth? Because if you're laying in a hospital bed and you get $1 billion or $10 billion or $100 billion and you're all tubed up, but you can't move, you're useless. So we say health, wealth, and then freedom. And that's really why we build our wealth, is to maximize the freedom and all the dimensionality that you talked about: relationships, spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, all that full. And what we're saying with our new book, Ask, is that everyone's got a destiny to the fulfillment of their soul, their mind, their body, and their health.
Yeah. And I think we just miss it in this business entrepreneurial world where, you know, it's all about business and great success. That's all good. But that was my biggest lesson, is that, oh, in money vocabulary, my body's my number one asset. And if I'm laying here, one, I can't generate any more wealth, but two, I can't enjoy my wealth. I can't enjoy life. Like, I just missed it. And, you know, I've always said, would Steve Jobs give his last $1 billion away to get his health back to still be here today? And we can probably all say categorically yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why when we wrote the book Ask, we wrote it about asking the right questions in all those categories, asking the right questions in career, asking the right questions to get your greatest health, asking the right questions for your greatest relationships, and also for your life purpose. Because if we can be going after all those things, and if we're not connecting it to our greater purpose, then we're kind of left sort of feeling void of any meaning. So we're happy to be discussing it today.
Yeah. So let's just jump right in then. Is first of all, I'd love to you guys just to share a little bit of story. I mean, I think, you know, your names are very well known, but I just love to hear the story. Like, who are you, and what's some of the backstory that people may not know, and what brought you to really writing this book and wanting to encourage people to stand up and start asking?
You unwrapped a lot of questions, so I'm going to try to synchronize them. And I agree with every one of them. Thank you. And any we missed, we can go back to. But obviously I've been blessed to sell a half billion books, starting with the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, and now written 312 books. And the question I get asked in the Library Association of America has just asked me to do films to get everyone to go to library, because I think reading is the first fundamental freedom of freedoms, which is a whole different level of asking than we've ever done before. But when Crystal and I have traveled around the world to 80 countries and met, talked to 7 million people, and interesting what they ask, especially like for 22 years we're going to China, they ask spiritual questions. And that's why we said, look, the three parts of ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. And the other thing is, we've been doing all these podcasts, like you mentioned before we started, and we're doing it in Australia, which is basically a neutral secular country, meaning 90% of people do not go to church. And every one of them goes right to spiritual depth, because the spiritual runs the mental, which runs the physical. So when you were laid up in bed, and I don't know for sure what happened, but I'll bet anything you got deeper in your spirituality. I would bet that. And I see you nodding your head for those who are listening and not seeing it. So then when we traveled around, what we did is we looked at all the people that were wonderful, professional, well-educated, had money. But the difference between somebody who succeeded totally and had their destiny wired and somebody who did not was one thing only: they asked. So what we decided to do is write, and every time we had a problem or an adversity, we asked our way out of it individually and collectively, which we'll talk to. And what we discovered is that our destiny is helping everyone else find their destiny. And right now, because of COVID and fear and all that, people have been locked in this cocoon now for 8 months, right? And it's just tragic.
Right. And I just wanted to add to that, Christina. So I'm a transformational life coach, board certified hypnotherapist. So my work has always been about bringing out the best in people. And so in those three areas we talk about in the book, each of those are the channels through which Mark and I discovered that are essential to asking yourself to create a different result in your life. And it's asking yourself, ask others, and ask God. And the asking yourself part is that reflective journey. And that's what transformational work is about, right? It's about taking that quiet time with ourselves and really questioning what's working and what's not working. And Mark and I say there are three critical phases to that asking yourself part, right? Critical phase number one is like, where am I now? Because we can't change anything in our lives until we spend that time with ourselves, you know, determining where am I now? What's working? What's not working? Am I really passionate about what I'm doing? Is it fulfilling me or is it draining me? All of those things that you probably started asking yourself when you got sick, because you were forced to this place, this critical, you know, moment or this crisis. And that's what happens with so many of us. We have these setbacks, we crash and burn, we have a crisis. And then finally we're forced to, you know, we don't have any answers, but we always have questions. And that's why this asking journey is so critical to recognize and then to start implementing in your own life. So that critical phase number one is like, where am I now? And then second critical phase is, where do I want to be? It's surprising how few people take the time to really stop and ask themselves those questions. Like, where do I want to be? Like, ultimately, what do I really want for my life? And when you start, you know, entering that phase, where do I want to be? There's all those sub questions that come underneath it. And what Mark and I like to say is, you know, this is the place where you really need to use your imagination, bring the imagination in a big way. And we say, go to the nth degree of what you want. And you may have to ask a lot of questions to get there of yourself, but in your ultimate scenario of what you want, what does that look like, right? Whether it's in career, in your relationships, in your health and wellness, start to imagine that nth degree of success and wonder and loveliness, and then start asking yourself, like engineering it backwards, like, who am I talking to every day? What am I doing with my time every day? How do I feel in my health and fitness? You know, how am I expressing myself each day? And as you start to ask those questions, you literally start to engineer a different plan for your life. And it's really quite miraculous, because human beings are the only animal that has the ability to imagine. And so It's like we can truly create anything we want if we're willing to take this time with ourselves. And then, of course, the final critical phase of that ask yourself part is, you know, where am I now? Where do I want to be? And then what specific action do I need to take to get there? Because it's important to define that. You know, once you start asking questions, I promise you, solutions, understandings are going to start to come to you. But then you need to take the action. You can't just sit on the sofa and wrap yourself in a blankie, right? You have to start.
Yeah, it's like the law of attraction. Like, yeah, you actually have to do something. I'd love to question into that a little bit. It reminds me actually of a question of a conversation I had yesterday in one of my coaching calls. And my student on the other side, she said, Christina, my husband and I were talking, we're just afraid to dream. What if we can't get there? And the, you know, it just seems so silly to dream big. And I that just really stumped me in a way. It almost made me sad. Like, whoa, like, where does our imagination go? Why do we quit imagining as results? Why do we quit thinking of what's possible? You know, why don't we start with lifestyle architecture of dreaming what we want and kind of the destination and our destiny and then working back from there? It's just, we start here and people just get in the drift and in their patterns and habitualized and just think something's going to change magically on its own. Like, where do people get stuck? Like, what is the stuckness?
Well, first of all, I like the first sentence to the end, but I did the number one meditation Nightingale Conant sold. I created, and they're still selling like crazy. And now it's becoming a book called How to Think Bigger Than You Ever Thought You Could Think, because it's not that we think too big. It's that we think too small. And that's verified by Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish Nobel Prize winner. It's Bill Gates said, in the short term, we want too much, and long term, we don't want enough. And the point to your student and friend there is that what happened is that she is thinking low, because what we learned about questioning is that people get their questions squished out of them starting at a very young age. And I'll give an example of that in a minute, but is that you just ask too many questions. Who do you think you are? And then you go to school and they say, we're here to teach you. You got to learn this alphabet. And you don't have to ask why you need the alphabet. You just got. And then it goes through the military, it goes through business and all that. And so what happened when we started this book called Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, 2 years ago, we're in Hawaii on vacation when you could still do such things. And we've got 6 grandkids that we adore. And the 6-year-old Everett, who's really precocious, this kid is going to be a gigantic leader, but he got a gizmo watch, a Dick Tracy watch. And he can only call his parents and grandparents. And he calls and said, Grampy, are you and Mimi alone? Can I talk to you? I said, son, you can talk to us 24/7 always for the rest of your life. You know, you're the most important thing in our world. What is it you want to do? He said, you know those chicken soup books that you wrote? I said, yes, sir. I like them. Are you still writing them? I said, I'm still writing books, sir. He says, well, can I write a book with you? Now, understand, most parents and grandparents go, you're 6 years old. How can you help us write? But instead, what did we say?
Of course.
And so he helped us write this book, because why shouldn't a 6-year-old, and to vamp on that out of the tapes, I happen to be re-listening to the tapes because we're turning it into a book right now. And I talk about why every business should have an 8-year-old on their board of directors. And the first guy to teach me that, I lived in Boulder, Colorado, and I was a professor out there for a while at University of Colorado. And Mo Siegel and I would go collect herbs at night. The guy started Celestial Seasonings Tea and is the main owner of a lot of things. Anyhow, Mo always had an 8-year-old on his board. And I said, Mo, why? He said, they got the best crap detector in the world. They don't take any crap. They don't give any crap. And they see crap that fast.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And where does, is there like a unworthiness? Is there just lack of, I'm just really curious. Like, is it the way we're raised? It just, we get stumped like, hey, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. Or why think big? You know, that's for other people.
Right. It's so crazy, Christina, because we all start out, like Mark was saying, as these beautiful little children. Okay. Uncorrupted. We're all uncorrupted when we come into this world, right? We just want to know who, what, when, where, why. We're constantly asking, and we are always asking for more and more and more. And that's beautiful. That's human spirit trying to come alive. That's human spirit trying to evolve. That's the natural thing. But then, you know, depending on how you were raised or going to school or what jobs you did, you know, it does start to get crushed out of you. People shut you down, make you feel embarrassed, aren't interested, you know, want to tell you what to do, not have you ask them. And so, and basic life rejection just starts to crush that beautiful, natural spirit out of all of us to the point where we start feeling afraid or ashamed to ask. And Mark and I discovered there are actually 7 roadblocks to asking. And we discovered that every one of us carries at least one of these roadblocks, if not more. And of course, the first one is unworthiness. That's a biggie.
So you hit it.
Yeah. And I guess, and this life crushes you enough. It's like, all right, just go through the motions at some point and quit dreaming, quit imagining. And, you know, cause that's the energy. That's the imagination energy. It's the creative energy. It's the what's possible energy that we have when we're young. It's dreamers and inventors. And, you know, you invent something out of, you know, tents, you create, you know, pillows and blankets into tents inside the house. And now you're, you know, with your cowboys or whatever, there's all the imagination and spirit, that aliveness, that all of a sudden you just find yourself stuck in adulthood. So is it, do you think like the stuckness, if people find themselves stuck, then the first ask question, like you said, is maybe you're stuck because you quit dreaming. So let's start asking, where am I today? What's working? What's not working? Where do I want to be next? Where do we want to be next? What is that vision? Can we get back to that? Which makes me think we've got to get out of the busyness. We've got to get out of these habitualized patterns. We've got to get out of numbing ourselves with TV or with whatever we're numbing ourselves with, and actually go to the journal, actually go to the white piece of paper, sit down and have a conversation. So what do you say to that? Like, how do you inspire people to actually stop the nonsense, not nonsense, but get out of the pattern and just sit down and invent, create?
Right, exactly. And you know what the first step is, Christina? It's awareness. Okay, so I think it's really important for people to read these roadblocks. So it's a, I'm just going to go through them. So people, unworthiness, naivete, doubt, excuses, fear, pattern paralysis, disconnection. And like I said, every one of us has one of those, if not more. And here's the thing. When we wrote about these, we also wrote the stories of the people who've experienced those and then realized it and overcome it and said, oh my gosh, the great thing about stories, and we use a lot of stories in this book, and obviously the story guy here, right? But the beautiful thing about stories is they're really metaphors for our own lives. And when we read a story, it becomes a metaphor. It's a pattern that our brain can recognize, and we can go, oh my gosh, that is me. We literally see ourselves in each other's stories because we as humanity have the same universal issues, problems. We really do. We're more connected than we think. And so it's so beautiful when you read about these roadblocks, these stories, you recognize yourself, because the first step is awareness. Like, you can't change anything unless you're aware of it, right? And you go, oh my gosh, we've had podcasters who have said, I never realized my unworthiness. It started when I was, you know, 12 years old. I was chubby and I couldn't invite anyone to the dance. All of these things that start in our childhood, you know, but once we are aware, that awareness is like a gate opening up. So it's like, aha, now I can walk through that gate, and knowing and being aware that I have these, I can start to change it. Because, and we go so deep into the book about, you know, then you're ready to ask the questions. Then you're ready to sit down with yourself. And you're right. Like, there's nothing more important than us getting off that hamster wheel, you know, get off your phone, get off your social media, and spend some time with yourself. The magic is in here. And as a transformational life coach, I always tell everybody, like, while it seems that life is happening out there somewhere, and it's coming at us, and we're ducking and dodging and trying to keep the balls in the air, that is a complete illusion. It's an illusion. The reality is your life experience is created right here inside of you, right? And everything that happens, okay, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to be generated in here. You get to decide what of those, you know, structures, what of that baggage are you going to hang on to once you're aware that, oh my gosh, this started when I was young. And it's not true. That's one of the questioning process. We take people through so many questions, but is it true? Are these things about myself that I've been believing, are they true? Where did they come from? Do I need to keep them, or can I let go of them? Yeah, you can let go of them like that. But it's the awareness and that deliberate decision to start making these changes. And it absolutely requires taking this beautiful asking journey inside at a very deep level.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I'm just getting chill bumps because it's so true. And just like sitting with ourselves and asking it, I mean, it just seems so simple in a way. Let's move to the second one, which is ask others and talk about, I think, where people probably really bump into the unworthiness and the fear and the maybe naivete, some of the roadblocks you're talking about. Because it's almost as though we want things to happen without asking. And, you know, people have often asked me like, hey, Christina, you know, how have you done X, Y, or Z? Like, or how did you make that happen? It's like, dude, I just asked. It was actually pretty simple. What do you is the fear of asking to be rejected, I'm guessing, is probably the primary reason why when we're asking others in business or personal or whatever the case is, but we're not asking for what we want or need or what may be possible, right? Is that
because we're afraid to be looked at as ignorant or abrasive or arrogant or stupid or any of the multiplicity of stuff there. So let me just do the first two together. When I went bankrupt in 1974, because I thought I was a hotshot, I'd been trained by Bucky Fuller. I was building the Wall Street Racquet Club, Botanical Gardens, Aviaries in New York. I'm 26 years old and I'm on top of the world, but I'm building out of plastic, PVC, polyvinyl chloride, wrong time. Arabs came along and said, we can write checks so big your banks will bomb. So I went bankrupt so fast, I had to check a book of the library, how to go bankrupt by yourself. And for 6 months, I'm sleeping in front of another guy's room because I asked, because I didn't know what I was going to do. But I'm in Hicksville, Long Island, New York, and finally dawned on me what I really wanted to do is talk to people that care about things that matter that would make a life transformative difference. I go to my three roommates in Hicksville, Long Island, New York, and I ask, I say, hey, you guys, any of you know a young speaker that's not a lawyer, not a doctor, not a business person, not a celebrity, not a famous person, but young enough I can relate to that's making money? And said, oh, yeah, yeah, this kid is a few years older than you. He's out in Hopog talking to all the realtors this morning. The only thing the bankruptcy courts had not taken, they let me have a little beat up Volkswagen that I had to wipe the snow off the window. The windshield wipers didn't work. Race out there, get there, watch this guy mesmerize the audience, Chip Collins, for 3 hours. I go up to him afterwards and I, with a little bit of timidity and fear, I asked, I said, Chip, Mark Victor Hansen, I'd like to take you to lunch, learn how to do what you do. He said, look, kid, chance you make it is 1 in 1,000. You're not going to make it. But if you stay out of real estate, I own the 5 boroughs of New York. I'll teach you how to do life insurance. Well, I did 1,000 talks a year the first 3 years. And then all of a sudden they kept saying back to her, what Crystal just said to you is that I'm the story guy. They said, I love that story, kid. You got it in a book. So I did a book, not ask, but called Stand Up, Speak Out, and Win. And I tripled my income that year because I said, this isn't a New York Times bestseller, not a national bestseller, not a bestseller, not any kind of bestseller, but it's my bestseller. And I want to sign to you and your kids and your wife and your dog if you've got one. And I sold 20,000 copies at $10 each. At $200,000, I was back on my feet again. I was feeling good. And then obviously I've sold a few books since then.
I love it. I love your stories. And I think too, like if I am in a place where I want to ask, I think that first feeling that comes in that stops me from asking is I don't want to inconvenience somebody. I don't want them to feel pressured. I don't want them to feel uncomfortable if they need to say no. So it's almost like I don't want to ask because I don't want to inconvenience someone or make them feel bad in a way.
Right. Oh, I'm so glad you're saying this because we looked at all the studies about asking others for things, for help, for assistance, for information, whatever. And it showed that everyone going into the study felt the same way. Like, oh, I'm not going to ask. I don't want to impose. I don't want to appear pushy, obnoxious. I don't want to appear that I'm ill-informed or stupid or, you know, whatever. All of those things that go through our mind. But in all the studies that we looked at, the opposite is true. Like none of those things that are rolling around in our mind that are preventing us from asking are actually true. If you just step out there and ask for something, you have an 80% more likely chance that you're going to get your request granted in some way. That's a huge, you know, huge advantage. I mean, there's literally no reason not to ask because if someone rejects you or says no, you're just at square one. You haven't lost anything. You're just still at square one and you've figured out, you've polished or perfected your asking skills, right? So next time, you know, you're going to reach someone that'll say, you might go through 10 people, but like Mark, you might go through 144 publishers before you get one that'll say yes. But if you stick with it, you will get where you want to be. And the thing I like to tell people is, you know, we as human beings personalize everything. You know, we're all a little bit narcissistic. Like we all think it's always about us. And when someone says no to you or isn't interested or whatever, it's really not even about you. It's completely about them. It really is. Like maybe they're just having a bad day, or maybe they really just can't help you right now. Or maybe they're so frazzled. It's just, they're not in the mind state, but, you know, everyone's doing the best they can from their own state of consciousness. And it's really not about you. So just keep asking. You got to just play your own game. And it really is. I think if you make it a game and make it fun and, you know, again, tap into that childlike beingness that we all have still somewhere inside, it becomes a lot easier. And I want to tell a little story that's in the book, and because I love this story. It's just such a good, we have so many great stories that are great examples of how people felt that fear, or, you know, everything, all the odds were against them, but they asked and they just kept, you know, having greater successes or pivoting their life or changing things dramatically. So this woman, his name is Lynn Marquis, and she came out of college knowing that she wanted to go into the nonprofit space. She loved it. So she right away started putting together this camp for disadvantaged children, a summer camp. And because a lot of these kids, you know, they don't have anywhere to go in the summer. Their parents can't afford these wonderful camps. So she created a really great camp that was pretty long and extensive and kind of expensive. So, and she had to go out and get funding for it, obviously. So she was able to get an appointment with the richest woman in her city who controlled a large family trust. So she said the day that she showed up for this appointment, she was so scared. She goes, I was visibly shaking. It was so obvious that I couldn't hide it. So she goes, I just fessed up and said, you know, hey, I'm really, you know, honored to meet you. And I'm just really intimidated. You know, forgive me. I'm nervous. And the woman, of course, was very nice. And she was like, oh, you know, no problem. Let's sit down and talk about what you have. So she sat down and explained the camp, how amazing it is, how much it was going to benefit children, and all shared all of her passion for it. And then the woman said, okay, so how much are you asking for? And suddenly she got terrified again. And she said, I was so terrified, I started stuttering. She goes, I'm asking for $5,000 because that's what it costs to put a child through the camp, one child. And the woman said, okay, well, how many children do you want to put through the camp this summer? And she said something like 285 or something. And the woman goes, okay, I'll support them all. How much will that be? And Lynn was so stunned. She's like, I don't know. Do you have a calculator? I need to figure this out. But the lesson and the moral of that story is so profound, because she was terrified to ask, but she did it anyway. And her needs were so met. They were met so far beyond what she could ever have imagined. So we need to remember that, like, sometimes we just need to step on our fear and crush it with some courage. It's still going to be there, but crush it with some courage. Just step on it and go for it anyway, because you don't know when you're going to encounter that person who is going to grant your request so far and beyond what you ever imagined.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a good story. There's so much in that story as well. And when listening to it, it takes me back to that place. Also, what you said is we have to be okay being with the answer being no, also without feeling rejected, and that we don't ever ask again. And like you said, not to personalize, it's like not the right time, not the right person. And, you know, no big deal that maybe it's the next one, but to just keep asking. And then she was asking small too. And there's the lesson, like, to come in and ask for what you really want and, you know, see what might be possible. Because maybe the woman she might have written that big check, but she might have only given $5,000 instead of, you know, had she asked for everything. Wow. So I have a question. Is it different for men and women? Is it more difficult for women to ask in general, do you think? Or have you noticed anything, just gender differences?
Oh, go ahead. You want to take that first?
Well, I'll let you go first.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it depends on the scenario. Like, women are more willing to ask for little things that take care of situations. You know, women are always trying to take care of situations. So when it comes to asking for, like, directions or things like that, you know, just how to get things done so everyone's safe and happy and that sort of thing, women will ask those sort of things. But I think for the bigger things, definitely men are more willing to ask for the big stuff, you know? he's a great example of that. Like, you know, they were rejected so many times with their Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Literally 144 publishers turned them down. Now, most people would give up, but he doesn't ever give up. He's just the boldest asker.
It's true. And there's a story that we had. What happened is we did everything we knew we wrote, and then we interviewed and checked out all the universities, Stanford, Harvard, Cambridge. But then we interviewed these 26 askers, and there's a story that fits and answers your question, I think, beautifully. Story about our friend Jim Stovall. Stovall is trained. He's 18 years old. He wants to be an NFL player. He's big. He's fast. He's got endurance. Gets recruited and chosen, and they do the medical. And the doctor and the coach come back shaking their head and say, kid, we're sorry. This is terrible news, but you're going to be totally permanently and forever blind in 6 months. And I'm sorry to tell you that, but we're not going to let you play. Well, he goes home and he's self-incarcerated, sort of like a lot of people are during this COVID incarceration. And he's got a TV and a radio and a television. And he's complaining. And it's an echo chamber of negativity, which is a sidebar. We got to all shut off negativity. But the point is his parents say, look, Jimmy, go down to the blind meeting. This, maybe they can help you. Well, he goes down there and that's the same kind of echo chamber, but he sits with a woman who's a blind stenographer, Kathy. And he says, you know, in the old days, I used to love to watch somebody throw a right hook. For us blind people, somebody ought to do something about that. Well, she asked the pivotal question of today. She hit him and said, wait, Jim, we're somebody. Why can't we do something? Because I define an entrepreneur as somebody who finds a problem, fixes it, scales it, and makes a vast profit, which is legitimate and the right thing to do. And we need more entrepreneurs, more business builders, not less. And sure enough, they create a narrative TV. As a sighted person, you might not know it, but 14 million people pay $10 a month to be able to hear what's happening in TV and movies, and they're gigantic. And then I got asked, and the way I found out about Jim was a friend of ours writes me and said, hey, I know you're selling 15 million books a year. You haven't got time to do anything, but you've got to read. This is going to be a book that changed your life called The Ultimate Gift. I was so wowed by it. I wrote the foreword. I wrote the afterword and said, this has got to be a movie. Jim got a movie as a result, made $100 million on a movie. So we interviewed him for Ask. And he said, if I live 100 years, I'll thank you in my prayers every day, you and Crystal, because I now write books that I can't read and I make movies that I can't watch. And what it does, I'm going to unwrap it from my point of view, and you're allowed to give me yours, but it gets us out of our pity party, because you're saying, you don't know how bad it is because I've been locked down. And all of us got that kind of story, and you're either a victim or a victor. And we're saying, hey, look, let's do this transformative phase. And what we found out, Christina, is because we've done this now, it only came out in May. When people buddy up with their best friend or their mastermind partner or their coach or their advisor or their teacher or their friend and go through the Ask book start to finish, like Crystal said, it's transformative. And as you know, our symbol, because you read 1 Minute Millionaire, you can't look at a caterpillar and predict butterfly, but we've all been in a cocoon. And when you come out of the cocoon, you become a beautiful butterfly. Well, the same thing happens after every depression America's had. In 1898, what did we do? We created four things. The Wright brothers flew. A little guy named Edison created a little thing called electricity and movies, nothing important. Another guy created an automobile called internal combustion. And another guy created a telephone, you know, Mr. Bell, Alexander Graham Bell. The point is, we're in that same time now, and we're about to bust out. At least that's what we were chatting with you about before we began.
So with that, I mean, just to kind of change the direction a little bit, but to jump on what you just said, is in these times right now, in the context of asking, people are quarantined. They're locking themselves in. They're not connecting. I just think human connection is so important, and dialogue and conversation and asking and getting out, like just back and forth. So what do you guys say about that? I can just see there's so much more depression now and anxiety and fear. And we hear just some of these numbers. And how much of that is just coming out of this human need to ask and have a conversation and connect?
Right. I am so glad you brought that up, because, you know, it's been said a number of times that the cure can't be worse than the disease. And unfortunately, I'm afraid at this point it has become worse, because we shut our economy down, which just the devastation of, you know, if I'm a woman who put my last $100,000 into this salon and I have this great group of, you know, customers, and all that goes away, there's a tipping point where it's over, right? I can't keep sustaining. I can't keep paying my bills. Whether you're a bar owner, a restaurant owner, so many small businesses are suffering from that. And so, you know, the moral decay that's happening right now. I mean, the morale is so low right now because people are feeling hopeless. How do you get over that? And in addition to that, we're not, like you said, able to connect and brainstorm and talk with each other. So we're saying, do whatever you can to get together. I mean, we're in a state that's relatively open up and we've tried to stay open as much as possible. I think it's really devastating spiritually and internally for human beings not to be getting together, not asking each other these questions, just asking for your thoughts. Asking for someone's thoughts is so healing because when you start asking another person something, there's a bonding that takes place. And we're not getting that bonding anymore. Human beings aren't bonding. I mean, already before this started, we're too disconnected anyway with social media. We're artificially connected, but in reality, we're very disconnected. And so this has only made it worse. And we're just encouraging people to get together in small groups, even get on Zoom calls like this and really have heart-to-heart talks. Put together your own mastermind. And we're saying a lot of people, I mean, several podcasters have said to us, you know, can we get this book? Do you mind if we do masterminds or like book clubs on the book? And we're saying, go for it. Go for it. Discuss the principles in the book. We want everybody to come back. We need every person in this country to come back to life. And we can't, you know, sit there and ruminate on the misery that we're in. We need to come together, ask each other the questions, come up with new ideas and start to form those plans on how we can come back as individuals, as communities, and as a country. It depends on everyone coming together and bonding in that way.
Oh, I'm so in agreement with that. And I see this sit back and wait, like wait for this thing to be over versus no, start asking questions, connect, talk now, come up with new ideas, create new relationships, like be an actor. The sit back and waiting for something to be over, like who knows, right? Like we need to keep that energy flowing. This type of energy and smiles and connection and sharing stories and asking more questions. But it just feels like that's almost dead right now, that energy. It's sad.
So let me just give you the best example of somebody who didn't get sucked into being stuck right in this cocoon. And that is Elon Musk. Everybody knows what he's done from Tesla to Solar City to Neuralink and all that. And I'm a great fan. I think he is the reigning genius of our time. But the governor of his state shut him down and said, you are not allowed to build cars. You're not allowed to do anything in Fremont. So shut up and be shut up. So he finds out we need ventilators. And he calls up the head of 3M and said, hey, look, I got 3D printing. I got all the metal you could want. I got the best engineers in the world. Just send me your architecture. We'll share the profit, but I get these made and I get them made overnight. Well, sure enough, the plan opens up, but instead of just doing that, he builds 90,000 cars, becomes the fourth richest man in America. And then today I'm reading about him because I'm a fan. I've not met Mr. Musk yet, but I will. He's in my mind and I'm sure we'll synchronize in time and space. The point is, he says today, I'm going to start selling 20 million cars a year. What does he want to do? He wants to get the world working again and do it in a better, bigger, stronger way. And that's exactly what you're saying. Instead of saying, oh, poor me and ain't it awful, he just figures out everyone's going to have detours. Everyone's going to have upsets. We call them roadblocks. You got to go over, under, around, or through them. But there's always a way if you're awake and listening to podcasts, reading positive self-help action books like I've spent my whole life writing and listening to the audios. And we're just so excited to talk to great people like you who are willing to say, hey, wait a second, let's unzip this negativity. Let's get out of it and go back to positivity and see how do we fulfill our destiny? Because if these people that are live watching us, you've got to be pushing towards your destination. You said in destiny to get out of depression. I've never put those three D's together, but that's it. Because if you're moving, you're not depressed. If you're not moving, right, you start involuting instead of evoluting. And it just, I've never thought about that quite that way before, but, and we see so much suicide now because we've been on all the podcasts with the top shrinks, And they say, well, aren't you one? And I said, no, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a stretch. I do everything I can to stretch people, expand people.
Yeah, thank you so much. Wow, there's a lot there. And You know, even it's just, it's, you know, that, that metaphor turning, you know, lemons into lemonade, like the ideas for doing that, to use this as a space to relate and to create and get out of the wait mentality and start asking, because that's kind of the second follow-up question to ask others is there's asking like, well, hey, I need something, or, hey, can you make an introduction, or I'm raising money. There's those types of, let's say, business asks, if you will. But there's the reason why I love being a podcaster is I get to ask all these questions and hear these amazing stories, right? It's like I'm the benefactor of so much amazing lessons and nuggets and inspiration and motivation because I get all these great answers by just asking questions. So there's what I find too, that it seems like people just want to talk and tell. And they're missing the beauty in asking others and getting to know. And I just see that there's, from my point of view, so many, if not a large majority, it's like, we just want to be known, like hear me, see me, know me, ask me, but nobody's asking. And like, what a beautiful time just to get to know, make people feel special and important because you ask them because you actually want to get to know them and talk about bonding and connection and the feel good between both humans, that I get to feel good because somebody else is feeling good because I'm asking them to know them, and knowing them is, they're so beautiful, this human being, and we're missing it. And so anything to say to that, just like in using this as an opportunity to just get to know with no agenda other than I want to know you.
That is so awesome. And I'm so glad you brought this up, Christina, because back to even just if you look at the science behind it, people who, like in business or personal relationships, ask a lot of questions about the other person to get to know them, those people are more likely to get deeper business connections, get more business as a result of it. And in situations in personal relationships, in a dating study that was done, those people who did the asking exactly as you're describing, asked the more questions and even the probing questions, were like more likely to get a second date. And it is so important, like you were saying, because when you start asking another human being something, you start to see a different world. You start to see their world. And each of us has a really special, unique world. And we can learn from each other's worlds. We can learn from each other's universe, right? But like you said, there's a story in there by Preston Weeks about asking in business. And we do this in business. We do it in relationships. We come into scenarios and we're like, I'm going to tell about myself. And I'm going to say what I did. And I'm going to tell you how great I am and how why you should buy my services and why you should buy my products and why you should love what I do and how many accomplishments I have. And it's me. Do you love me? Okay, buy me, right? Buy my stuff. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work in business. It doesn't work in relationships because you don't have a bond with that person. You don't have any trust with that person. What bonds you to a person is when you finally understand that person, they will, or that business, or because businesses are nothing but people. It's the people involved, right? So if you go in and instead of saying, this is how great we are here, here's why you should buy your stuff, say, tell us what your biggest pain points were these last 6 months. You know, so if we were able to help you in any way, what would be like the first most important thing we could do? What's the second most important thing? You know, what are there any problems between your departments? Do you guys have a good workflow, or are there issues there? You know, learn about who you're talking to before you can pretend you can go out and sell them something when you don't even know who you're talking to. And the only way you know who you're talking to is by asking questions. And then when you ask a question, we talk about this in the book, and they answer you, don't change the subject and go on to, you know, I've got my list of questions, question one, question two, question three. It's like when they answer, probe into that answer and ask a deeper question. Okay, so you will get to know someone at a much, much deeper level. And yeah, we're so excited because I hope people will take this book and use it as a tool and a resource to come back and start doing things in a different way. And I promise you the level of satisfaction you'll have in your relationships, in your business, is going to be monumentally different.
And how it feel, and just the feel good in connecting and bonding of getting to know somebody. I mean, it's two ways that, again, I just see it tends to be missing because we're not asking to get to know. And we're not asking just for the sake of, I want to know you, because it feels so good to be seen, heard, and understood. Yet I think that's the yearning. That's the depression. That's so much of this. One, because the times are keeping us from connecting at all. And then added on to that, like you said, with social and kind of this disconnected world we live in, when we don't feel seen, heard, or understood, it just, it's like, then that all that other stuff starts to come on versus we feel more alive when we feel love and we're loving others and we're connecting. And again, I just love to ask because it can only be created through asking.
So let me add to that. Is it, we said, ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. Let's just go to ask God for a minute. What we're saying is most people are disconnecting to God in them because they think going to church perfunctorily and conveniently and saying I'm a this or I'm a that makes that isn't it. What we're saying is before you go to bed at night, if you're scared right now, ask yourself 400 times before you go to sleep, what, God, what is your destiny for me? What is my destiny, God? What is my destiny, God? What is my destiny? Because every one of us, as Crystal loves to say, is four times over talented, genius, skilled and ability, but it's at the deeper resources of your 18 billion brain cells that can't come to work until you really get in there. So if you ask, what's your destiny? And then tell your sweetiekins, hey, wait a second. In the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have to turn on a light because I listen to Mark and Crystal and they're nuts. Christina made sense. She was wise, but I don't know about these two. And you got to have paper ready and take notes and write down in detail whatever God in you tells you, because everyone knows what your destiny is. It was coded, we believe, at DNA and RNA at birth, right? Like Crystal said, when you come in naked, ignorant, and innocent. And what happens is, you've got all that, but you've got to ask yourself a deep level. And when Jack and I needed the title, we did the same thing. It's called a thought command. And we said, mega best selling title, mega best selling title, mega best selling title, mega best selling title. And Jack calls me at 2:58 in the morning. This is before cell phones. So whole house wakes up and go, oh my God, the place is on fire or something. And I say, he says, chicken soup. And I said, for the soul. And we knew we had it, like what you said a minute ago. It gave us God bumps, goosebumps, chili bumps, because your deeper inner knower knows, your higher self knows. And right now, more than ever, we're saying, hey, look, you can't look at a caterpillar, we said, and predict butterfly because you can't see cocoon. And we're all in this cocoon. So you said, go deep. And the way to go deep is before you go to sleep, where you're lulling yourself to sleep, what, God, what is your destiny for me? God, what is your destiny for me? Seems simple. Seems elemental. Seems like everybody should know it. But based on now having talked to tens of millions of people in these great podcasts around the world, everyone's saying, I didn't know that. No one ever told me that because churches don't teach it. Temples, synagogues, ashram, mosques don't teach it. So suddenly everyone's saying, oh my God, you're holding up the mirror. So I understand what Socrates said is individual, know thyself, right? The whole deal.
Yeah. And that makes me think of, you know, just relating relationship and relating my relationships with, I call Mother You, and Mother You and I are very tight these days, but I didn't even know that spiritual until I got sick. My healing was actually a spiritual journey and going through that to where, you know, I wouldn't recommend what I went through on anyone, but it's the best thing that ever happened to me. So I had no spiritual connectivity until I had that experience. And my own anecdotal story is kind of going through that near-death experience and on my deathbed. And I asked Mother You, I said, I think I've learned lessons. If I can get another chance, I'd like to teach these lessons I've learned here. And I walked away from my old career. I mean, completely walked away and I didn't know what was next. And I just said, just guide me. I'm asking for your guidance. I need you. I'm here to serve your purpose. And I just kept asking over and over and over. It's not like it's just like, well, I knew right away. I just kept asking and asking kind of before bed and different things. And all of a sudden it just dropped one day. And it's like, all right, I know what I have to do now. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know why, but, and here we are today with I'm doing what I'm doing. But it's that same relationship of like, ask God, ask Mother You. And just in the ask is like, hey, I'm here for your service. What do you have for me? I'm asking for your guidance. I'm asking for your direction. I'm here to do that work. But it's a whole different way of living life is to have that type of faith and trust and just, but the ask, it's in the ask, right? Because I think part of maybe, again, I'm just thinking out loud here, but part of the reason why we don't ask God, we don't ask ourselves, we don't ask others, there's almost this little thing in the back of our head that says it doesn't really exist anyway. Or you're not going to get it. Or what if you're rejected, or whatever that kind of invisible thing is, or it couldn't be true. When we don't ask others because we're afraid maybe we'll be rejected, that person will say no, when quite the opposite, actually. Like when I'm asked, I love to help. I love it when people ask me and I know that my genius or my purpose here can help others. It's like, I'm so glad you asked. Now I get the opportunity to fulfill. I think Mother, you or God, when we ask, it's like this opportunity. I want to fulfill. I want to answer. I want to be there. So we're not asking that's keeping this energy from flowing. When we ask, it's just this desire from the other side to say, yes, I want to help. Isn't there an ingrained something in us where we want to help? We want to make a difference. We want to make impact. We, you know, we just don't know where to offer that sometimes unless we're asked. Am I kind of going, does that sound crazy?
No, you're exactly right. That's when human beings come alive. We have a section in the book called Become a Granter of Wishes, because when we're able to do something for another human being, our self-esteem goes up, our levels of happiness goes up. That is proof that we are here to serve one another. I mean, it's talked about in scripture, you know, the greatest amongst you is the servant of all. That these are really practical tools. Like, just serve a little bit more and you will find your levels of happiness when you stop just focusing on, oh, I'm miserable and I don't have everything I want. And start asking the questions. Start living in wonder. Start wondering how you can be more of service. Start wondering and asking how you can express these amazing, unique skills and talents inside of you even better. And, you know, I think a lot of people kind of stay away from the topic of like God. We even get asked on podcasts like, oh, what about people who don't believe in God? And I say, you know, I think it's because so many people were taught like, okay, you need to ask God. They think of God as this, you know, old gray haired man in the sky, far, far away. And, you know, God is right here. God is the source of everything. When you think of God, what God really is the source of everything, all this beauty, all this wonder, all this wisdom, all this love. Where did love come from, right? It's not in a rock. I mean, we are expressions of the creator, however, whatever you want to call the creator, it doesn't even matter. You know, sometimes I say, my kids went through all these phases. They call me mom, mother. One, my youngest daughter came home one day and she said, Mom, I want to call you Marmalade Ned from now on. I'm like, where did you come up with that? And I thought it was so funny. Of course, it only lasted this long, but it didn't change my relationship with her, right? So just what we're telling people is get in touch with the source. There's no way you are just this random thing that ended up here, that you are full of love. You are full of wisdom. You are full of every possibility. And if you just say, I'm going to connect to the source, the creator of all of that. Maybe I won't. How can we ever understand that as human beings, right? We have these human limitations. But if you just live in that little bit of wonder that I'm a part of something really amazing and I'm going to tap into that, whether you call it God, universe, mother you, I love that, mother universe, whatever. But it really opens up every possibility because you are divine, you're special, you're amazing. And when you can tap into that, you realize I'm not stuck in anything. I'm not stuck anywhere. Like the world is my oyster. I just need to keep expressing in the most amazing way I can and keep asking the questions that will help me find what that is and ask others so I can bond to the right people.
Yeah, just all in the ask at the end of the day. Well, we're bumping up against our time together. My God, this went so fast. So much magic. One other thing, just you guys are a beautiful couple, clearly, and you obviously work together and live together and create together. And so what about asking between couples? Like what about marriages and keeping romantic relationships alive?
Well, let me go way backwards and say I went through a painful divorce and I wrote down 267 things I need in my ideal thing. I asked myself, what is it that I want? We had to have the same values. We had to be monogamous. She had to have her own money because I don't want somebody marrying me for my wallet. We had all this stuff, all of which I put in the 20th anniversary issue of Chicken Soup for the Soul. So you can still get the book if you want to read all those things that are victory. I see her. Yeah, spiritual under. We have the same spiritual values, because what happens is at the front end, we're most people are sort of superficial. Say, I want that hot babe as a male. And a woman says, I want him tall, dark, and handsome. Well, pretty superficial. Not bad, but it's a pretty superficial thing. Starts up. All of a sudden, I saw her and I found out she was divorced also. And I thought, because I'd written that our kids, one of the 267 values, were a little older. So our kids have got to get along. Otherwise, it's not going to work. I mean, we're going to have to like each other's kids. None of which I told her before we got married. So she's at my author 101. Somebody spills wine all over white pants in the VIP section. I break out of this throng of people. Grab her and say, I know where the club soda is. We go to a restaurant, and this is so cool. We get there, and it's the top restaurant in Hollywood, and the line's forever, and a $100 bill won't get me in. So we walk up, and the guy sees her and sees that she's got radiance, beauty, self-possession, charisma, and wonder. But he says, okay, I give up. Who is she? And remember, the question's the answer. I said, you don't recognize her? Now the guy's head's going on steroids. He's going through People magazine and Style and everything.
So crazy.
He says, okay, I give up. Who is she? Now, we're both Danish. So I said, she's a queen of Denmark. He starts and said, no, she's not. And all of a sudden he said, she is. Who are you? I said, who travels with the king? He says, oh my God, you're the king. And immediately we had a table. See, and it's all the question, and we were just teasing, but once we have the best table in the place, it's a little hard not to accept all the good. But questions are the answer, and question will get you from where you are to where you want to be. But you got to know somewhere where you want to be. That's why we use the subtitle, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, because we all have a great destiny, a wonderful destiny, an opportune destiny. And the destiny is not limited because of the five lockdowns. It's because you're supposed to do it inside out. God in you has awareness.
Well, and I just wanted to add to that, Christina. So every day, Mark and I spend this like hour, like the first hour of our day, in this meditation, prayer, asking time. And we check in with each other. We ask the questions to make sure we're on track. We ask the questions to understand how we feel about things. You know, we tend to get a lot of things coming at us. And so it's like, are we being pulled off our purpose, or is this in alignment with our purpose? And we have to go through those questions and make sure, you know, okay, so what is our purpose? And so checking in with yourself every day, like there's nothing more important. Stop checking in with your social media and start checking in with yourself is what we say. And as a couple, it is so bonding, because when you spend this time together in prayer, meditation, and really setting your intentions, asking the questions, finding the solutions and illuminations together, it's a whole new level of intimacy. And we really believe that if couples did this together every day and had this level of like spiritual intimacy, that there would be so fewer problems, so many fewer problems. And people would stay bonded. Couples would stay more bonded.
Mm-hmm. And right, again, just back in the ask. Just,
yep.
Even if it's like, hey, honey, how are you today?
Right.
You know? How are you feeling? Is there anything I can do? You know, what, just all in the ask, man, ask. I think, you know, I'm going to, after this, I'm actually going to spend some time really, I mean, I'd say I might be a better asker than the average person, but I'm up to the challenge. I'm going to become even a better asker. I'm going to be, yay. I'm going to think about this and really be more intentional. So thank you so much.
We really want to help everyone become master askers. So we say, look, almost the only place you can get the book is on Amazon, you know, so get a copy of Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Destiny on Amazon, and then go to askthebookclub.com. And what we want to do is help people become exactly what you've just intuited. We want to create the Ask movement, the Ask challenge, so everyone becomes a master at asking, so they have a fulfilled destiny.
All right. Well, I'm up to the challenge, and I'm going to, with, you know, some of my followers, I'm going to see what we can do ask-wise. Are there just like some master questions, as, you know, we want to start as master askers to get us started?
There are a whole bunch of questions in there. So I would say follow the book. It's really such an amazing journey. And we start off the book with this fable that I wrote that just came to me. And it's pretty magical, because it puts you in the mindset. It starts off with the fable of Michaela. And Michaela is, it's the fable set in the times of kings and queens. And Michaela, basically has been indentured to work at a stone quarry. And her job every day is just to move heavy rocks from one place to another in a cart. And so really, it's the story of every woman and every man's story, essentially, because Michaela's lost everything. She's lost her parents one after the other. Then the bill collectors took her home away from her because she couldn't pay the medical bills. So she's sleeping in a grove of trees, and she goes home exhausted, and she's lost all hope. She's lifeless. She has nothing to really live for. And she just falls into an exhausted sleep in her grove of trees, and the being comes to her. She falls into it, and she starts having a dream, and this being comes to her and takes her on this amazing journey and shows her this bridge, this sparkling bridge. And he said, that's your destiny bridge. And the key is, Michaela, to start asking and never stop. And she wakes up from that dream, and she's already feels something has changed inside her, but she keeps remembering the admonition that he gave her to ask, ask, and never stop asking. So it's just such a beautiful journey to see how she starts to wonder about people, how she starts to ask people questions, and then how her life and her destiny continues to unfold. It's, we're getting a lot of amazing feedback just from the fable. Like, and it's interesting because guys, men will call us and be like, I read the fable and I was crying and I had to go read it to my wife. And then I read it to my 16-year-old daughter. And it's just, it's so fun to, for us, and so rewarding to see how people are really moved by this, because we see ourselves in this and we know there's something better for us when we start asking.
Absolutely. All right. Just a couple wrap up questions. Thank you so much. Answer me this first, Crystal, you say, Christina, if you really, really knew me, you would know that. What's something that a lot of people don't know about you?
Okay. So Christina, if you really, really knew, you would know that I love, finding the best in people. Like, I'm not about, if someone's in the, let's tear someone down and criticize them, and it's just not me. I just don't, you know, don't stay in that space with those people, because that is just not me. I'm a cheerleader for everybody.
I can so see that. I can so see that. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I want you to be my best friend.
Okay.
Mark?
I want to make the world work for 100% humanity and make it physically and economically successful. And just simple things like 4 billion people don't have clean water and food. But I really think it starts with learning to read and educate them, so then they can start to study it themselves and take themselves forward.
Yeah, thank you. And you said something earlier too, to piggyback on that, is more entrepreneurs, more small business. We need to help small business. We need to keep this economy going. We need to keep asking. We need to get out there and take action and move things and movement, like you said. So thank you. Thanks both of you for your work. Thank you for this book. Thank you for your spirit. My gosh, this is what you are, what's going to keep the energy going so we can pull out of all this as quickly as possible. Thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, and thank you, Christina. You do a beautiful job, and thank you for facilitating these discussions. It's so important.
One final question. I'll ask Mark, you first. What's one big fat lie, one big myth out there from your point of view that you would like to bust?
That any of us are limited. We are actually born unlimited. We're born infinite, because the line out of Upanishads, out of abundance here, she took abundance, still abundance remains. Can't breathe in all the air. You couldn't breathe in and hold it. So we've got to have this whole cycle of giving, which Crystal talked about a second ago, as a grantor of wishes. Because once you start asking, others are going to ask you, and we've got to do the full circle.
Grantor of wishes. That's so good. Crystal?
Big fat myth that I'd like to bust is that, it's just particularly right now in this, what came to me is this, in this political environment, that we're so different and we're just so divided. We're so different as people. Like, half of us are this way and half of us are this way. I think all of us are really very close to being the same. It's just, we're seeing different understandings or have different information about how we think all of our problems should be solved. And I just, whatever side you're on, I just want people to remember to stop the hate and, like, understand that person is probably so much like you. You just have different understandings about how to solve situations. And maybe on either side, maybe your information's not right. You know, maybe it's not perfect. We're all going on the information that we have, right? But fundamentally, I think we're so much alike.
Thank you. What a perfect place to complete. Thank you so much for your time and being here with us today.
Thank
you,
Christina. Our
pleasure. Thank
you. Take care.
If you enjoyed today's show, there are a few things you could do as a way to say thanks. First, simply hit the subscribe button to the Wealthy Wealthy podcast. By doing so, it helps both of us. You'll never miss an episode, and it helps me and my ratings. Second, if you're so ambitious, please leave a review while you're at it. Third, just keep doing what you're doing and continue to share the Wealthy Wealthy podcast with your tribe of friends and colleagues. On another note, although you likely listen to the podcast when remote, keep in mind that there are links to the guests and their work in the show notes that you can find at www.podcast.com. You can also find at www.podcast.com the latest information on my upcoming events and other things I'm creating to serve you in our mutual quest to live a wealthy, wealthy life. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.